Good day, Internet.
Good day. Good day, Internet.
What was that whoop about?
I was already recording, and when I hit it, it stopped it, so I had to restart it.
Backup recording, though, so we're fine. Yep. We're all good. We're all good here.
We'll have my good day, just not your good day.
If we have to use the backup, we'll lose my good day. I'll have a bad day. Are you having a good day, Allison?
I am now. Can I have permission to turn Wi-Fi on so that I can use my Luna display so that I can watch the Discord chat down on my iPad?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
I'm still trying to figure out.
Cross your fingers.
I'm suspicious why Luna display doesn't say what wireless protocol it uses. To catch people up to things you didn't hear because we hadn't started recording yet. Allison is using a little dongle called Luna display that's USB-C on one end and then wirelessly transmits to an iPad so you can use it as a second display. So it's not the first thing to ever do this, but the cool thing is it's virtually no lag and it's not using the internet. But you do have to use a dongle to do it. She cannot get them to answer her about what wireless protocol. It says it works with your existing Wi-Fi. So it must be transmitting over your local network, or it could be using Wi-Fi Direct.
I think, so it says the name of my router in the corner of the window. It says Nighthawk 5GH.
Mm-hmm.
So it's trying to connect between them right now.
Yeah, it's probably using your, I'm going to guess it's not using Wi-Fi Direct because it says it's backwards compatible with any iPad. It's probably just transmitting over your local network, which then makes me wonder why you need the dongle.
Exactly. That's what I wondered. And it's not working right now. Why is it not working?
Like, what does the dongle get you?
Yeah.
Powered by our unique liquid technology.
Right.
If Wi-Fi is unavailable, USB is a reliable alternative.
Using the power of mental thoughts.
You know, it's being cranky, so
liquid just sounds like they've got their own compression algorithm and whatnot.
Yeah, that might be what it is.
WScottis1 wants to know if I've pre-ordered the Mac Mini. No, I have not pre-ordered the Mac Mini. I do not at the moment intend to pre-order the Mac Mini. To get the Mac Mini I want would cost me above $3,000. So until this Mac Mini breaks, I'm going to keep using this Mac Mini.
I am going to wait to see what all the reviewers say and what iFixit says.
Yeah, I'm interested in what they say, but it's
if there are ways that I can upgrade it.
Yeah, but there's nothing that looks like it's going to be a surprise, right? It's not like, oh, there's a new piece of technology in here. Let's see how it works. They've got the new chip. But they're using Intel chips in the Mini, so it's not even a new chip. I can't imagine there'd be anything in the testing that would tell me anything I couldn't already guess. For the Mac Mini, anyway. For the iPad Pro, I think it's worth finding out what the testing says because you got some new stuff going on there.
Well, I'll test it for you.
Okay.
Pre-order.
Which one?
Hi, Allison.
Hi, how are you, Sarah?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh.
And hi, everybody.
Oh, hi, Sarah.
But especially Allison.
Of course, as it should be.
Girls got to stick together.
Oh.
I was trying to sort of set up some lights in here, but I don't know. I need to... It was one of those things I didn't give myself quite enough time for. See, that's better already. Okay.
So, Allison, what are you going to pre-order?
I pre-ordered the 12.9-inch iPad Pro with 5 and 12 gigs and the keyboard and the pencil and AppleCare, and it came out $1,982.
Wow.
Well, because you got AppleCare, too. That bumps it up a tiny bit.
Yeah, but I mean, the keyboard's $200 now.
Yeah, and the pencil's $129, not $99.
Yeah, I totally didn't need the pencil.
It's the add-ons. That's how they get you.
Well,
actually, just making
it's also the high base price. It's all of the ways they charge you is how they get you. So
money's worth on the Apple Care. My iPad, my 12.9-inch iPad Pro has been replaced 4 is 5 times.
Yeah, faulty piece of hardware. I wouldn't buy from that company anymore.
And the keyboard 4 times.
Yeah.
Boko wants to adopt him before Christmas.
Isn't it really pre-ordering, though? I think it's just ordering.
Yeah.
At this, I mean...
Well, if it's not shipping, then it's pre-ordering.
I guess.
Well, but it's shipping on the 7th.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not like you're, you know, that's kind of normal.
Right. I think we're so used to the Amazon world where they can like ship it to you immediately. It's like, oh, it must be a pre-order if it's more than a couple of days.
Well, Allison, how have you been?
I was telling the boys, my house is under construction. It's horrible here.
I feel like you said that last time you were on the show.
It's been 4 months.
Okay. Yeah. So I think so. Mm-hmm.
She was asking about our moves and I was like, yeah, I moved. And then Sarah, who copies everything I do, went and moved too. And, and Allison's like, well, I got you both beat. I've been going through 4 months of remodel.
Allison actually started this whole thing, believe it or not.
Yeah, right. So,
Allison is the reason that I live among boxes now. I actually finally, there's still so much to do, but you know, instead of being super overwhelmed, I'm like, okay, one room at a time, you know, just calm down, Sarah, one room at a time.
Yeah.
So my kitchen counter now just has nothing on it except normal kitchen stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
There's that deceptive point in unpacking where you've unpacked enough that you can live, but you haven't unpacked everything. So you feel like, wow, I just have a beautiful, I have so much space.
Yeah, totally.
You know? Right. You get to that 70% done thing and you just don't open the closet that has all the stuff that you put in there.
Like, wow,
and
this kitchen's
as the
so
months
roomy.
Go by, you're like, should I rearrange that closet? I don't know.
I just unpacked the last couple of boxes of my own stuff. Eileen still has a couple boxes of her stuff. And it was that moment where like, oh, right, I need to find a place for this. Oh, right, I need to find...
like it all seemed perfect, right?
Yeah. All so, this like clean design that we had, it was a lie. We'd been living in a lie.
And just silly stuff like, oh, like there are these three sort of like vinegar bottles that just don't fit in any of the shelves so they just have to be on the, you know, it's like just silly stuff like that where you're like, all right, well.
Yeah, the vases used to be up on a shelf above the refrigerator, but there's no shelf above the refrigerator in this place. So the vases are on the sideboard, but the stuff that used to be on the sideboard now is fine.
Yep.
So my studio was in my master bedroom. You remember there was a fireplace behind me?
Yeah.
And so I moved temporarily into my son's old room with his like junior high school desk. And then they had to paint this room. So I had to move out of this room. And then I moved back. When I came back in, I said, you know what? It's kind of nice in here. So we moved my desk in here. So this is now my real studio.
And this is your son's old room.
Right.
Which is probably, it's probably nice to have. I don't know how he feels about it, but a dedicated room that's a studio and nothing else type thing.
Yeah. Mostly it's because I like to do stuff at night and if Steve wants to go to sleep, I can't. And so
yeah, totally.
But I miss the fireplace and the mantle where all my toys used to be.
Yeah, that was a nice setup.
Oh, so you guys remember I had I got a meat grinder from one of my, a sausage grinder from one of my fans.
I do. I remember that.
Okay. Well, if you look, I don't know if you can see it in the corner. He sent me a vegetable grinder because the meat grinder didn't fit.
That's awesome.
Is that a vegetable grinder that you're using?
No. And I didn't use the sausage grinder either. But the joke about my live show is it's the opportunity to watch the sausage get made because it's not the real show. It's the making of the show.
Sure. Yeah. GDI. We know it well.
Yeah, exactly.
Dumb question. What kind of vegetables get ground?
Well, I think it's like for spiral cut on.
Oh, I see. It's not like
making
dust out of.
So like curly fries.
Can you do cauliflower though?
That's right. True.
Rice out of cauliflower.
That's true.
Pretend like.
Cauliflower, very versatile.
Mixed bag, depending on how it's cooked.
I mean, I love it.
With broccoli?
Cauliflower.
Yeah, I love broccoli.
With some curry on it. Yum, yum.
I love spinach. I got to limit my intake.
Have you guys ever been to Mastro's Steakhouse?
No.
There's a couple of them in LA. A friend of mine had a birthday last night, and there's a location in Malibu. It's really fun. Like, not fancy, but a nice steakhouse night type thing. But they have a live band. It's a whole thing. And there was some creamed spinach, which normally I'd be like, but you know, at a steakhouse, sometimes you just can't say no. Boy, was it good.
Creamed spinach. It's the cream that makes it so good.
And the spinach too, though. They complement each other well.
Steven, Phil and IRC chat room.
This just backfired. Wikipedia just sent me an email titled Deleting Wikipedia. And it's really just an email saying, hey, you've donated to Wikipedia before. Would you mind donating again? Because if it's not, it's like you're deleting Wikipedia. I'm like, no. Now I don't want to donate.
One of the things I liked was he only bothers me once a year.
Yeah.
I did it a year ago and they said, hey, you know, that was really cool how you did that. Can you do it again? It's the ones where you donate and like 20 minutes later, they ask you for money again. Right. Steve is saying there's still an IRC chat as well.
Yeah. No, irc.chatrealm.net. Still kicking.
Oh, I didn't install any IRC apps on here. So
you
I'm
just
not...
go to it in the browser. That'll work.
Oh, look at you. irc.chatrealm.net.
Me. Huh. Yeah, everyone sends.
Look at that. It's exciting.
All right.
Oh, pretty in the browser. Except it's clicky.
What's clicky? It's clicking. We don't hear it on our end.
Every time somebody talks.
I think Sarah may have had something happen. She seems frozen.
Uh-oh.
Listen, folks, if you're going to have technical issues, can you be like Allison and have them like a half hour before the show, not right at showtime? Just, you know, plan better for your technical issues.
Oh, yeah, she is frozen. Oh, jeez. I got lost.
Well, hold on. I have a technical issue.
Tom?
No, I left my phone in the other room, which might be handy to have for communicating. Be right back. Hopefully Sarah will be back by the time I'm here. Too.
Okay. How do I make it stop clicking in the web interface? It's popping every time a message comes through. And I tried to go look at the settings and then I got logged out accidentally. Okay, I'm going to try it again, but I might get lost again. Click the menu settings, messages, box for sound. Okay. Settings.
I need to get a different mailbox.
Oh, is it desktop notifications?
Is it just not big enough?
Oh, there it is.
Oh, we see Sarah.
Hi. Yeah, sorry about that. As long as it's just so weird. It's so funny. You guys just.
And we still sound low to you?
Hmm?
We still sound low?
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of hear you, but it's. You know what I'm going to do? Let me swap out these headphones.
Okay. Maybe it's the headphones.
131.
I mean, I could do it headphone free, but then I'm afraid you guys will hear feedback.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, it's possible. How about now?
I was just kidding.
Oh, stop it.
All right, can you hear us though?
I can hear you enough to do the show. Let's do it.
All right. Okay. 30 seconds. We'll do the show then. If that's okay with everyone else. I'm going to record in the right audio hijack window today.
Oh, good.
As a little treat. All right. 10 seconds. Everyone ready? Please take a deep breath. consult your inner chi, adjust your aura. 4, 3, 2, 1. Thanks to everyone who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, you can be one of them. Head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday. No, it's not. It's the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, October 30th, 2018, in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And Allison Sheridan from the House of Destruction in Los Angeles. I'm Allison Sheridan.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
Wow, House of Destruction. The tale of your remodels are legend. You've been broadcasting your podcast from a different room every day, as I understand it, practically.
I can figure. I think I'm on move 4 of my studio, so I'm kind of like a MASH unit now.
Yeah, the map. Mobile Army Podcasting Hospital.
It's super lean now, though. I know what I actually need because there's like these 12 things and everything else I can unplug and plug my desk in just like that.
Well, folks, we are here to tell you the tech news in spite of all of this. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Apple had an event today. Perhaps you heard about it. The company announced a MacBook Air with Retina display and Touch ID.
Let's just start this whole show over because you got way crunchy there. Can you talk a little more, Sarah?
Nope, she can't talk at all now.
Now we can't hear.
Hold on. Okay, now.
You're still crunchy.
I'm glad you stopped it, though.
Yeah, that was one that was just not going to.
How's it sound now?
Oh, okay. Now it's good. All right. Sorry, y'all.
Energy again.
Here we go. I won't. The problem was using the word chi. I'm pretty sure that's what caused the issue. Oh, here we go. 3, 2, 1. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, October 30th, 2018, in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And coming from Los Angeles in the House of Destruction, I'm Allison Sheridan.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
House of Destruction. Your remodel has become legend. I hear you do the podcast from a different room every day.
Pretty much. I'm a MASH unit. I can just unplug and plug my dock in. I got diagrams to put it all back together. I can just do it like this.
It's a MAPS unit, Mobile Allison Podcasting Studio.
There you go. That's what it feels like.
All right. We got a lot to talk about. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
At its hardware event today, Apple announced quite a few things. A MacBook Air with Retina display and Touch ID. Also a Mac Mini with up to 2 terabytes of storage and 64 gigs of RAM. And an iPad Pro with USB-C instead of a Lightning port, also Face ID, but no home button or headphone jack, and a new A12 Bionic processor. All three new items are available now to order, shipping starting November 7th. There's also a new Apple Pencil that can charge while magnetically attached to the new iPad Pro, a new keyboard attachment, and iOS 12.1 is out. Perhaps you've heard new emoji, among lots of other things. We'll talk a little bit more about those other things and Apple's events later on in the show.
Well, Signal released a beta test of a feature for its messaging app called Sealed Sender. It encrypts most of the plain text header information, so only the recipient can be logged as metadata. This would make it more difficult for Signal to comply with some warrants, as it would have to update a user's software to be able to see all the metadata.
Interesting way of defending. And the U.S. Department of Commerce has restricted U.S. companies from selling parts and software to China's Fujian Xinhua over national security concerns. The company makes memory chips and devices, and U.S. companies wanting to sell to it now need a license. The Commerce Department says the restriction is meant to limit a threat to the supply chain for essential components in military systems. Reports say Fujian Xinhua is accused of stealing intellectual property from U.S. company Micron. All right, let's talk a little bit more about good news for Nintendo, Allison.
The Nintendo Switch sold 3.19 million units last quarter for a total of 22.86 million Switches sold. That actually puts it in front of the 6-year run of the GameCube in lifetime sales, even though the Switch has only been out since March of 2017. Overall revenue for Nintendo was 221 billion yen, up 1 billion year over year. And the holiday quarter will see the release of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, and Eevee.
Yeah, so they didn't have that many big first-party titles this past quarter that they're reporting on, so that bodes well for the holiday quarter. There's also some third-party titles coming out in the holiday quarter. All in all, rosy picture for Nintendo based on the strong continued insurgency of the Nintendo Switch.
What is it about the Switch? What makes it so popular?
I think
portable?
Yeah, I think the fact that it's portable and a good game console, Nintendo has never had to be the best, most powerful game console. So the fact that it's not as powerful as a PS4 doesn't matter to people. They're like, yeah, the Wii wasn't either, but we love the Wii. It's the form factor and the titles. We can play Mario, we can play Zelda, and it's a good form factor, unlike the Wii U, which no one understood. They're like, I have this big tablet, but I don't know what to do with it. The Switch is just a tablet.
Okay.
Well, and I mean, I know, not having played it myself personally, but Super Smash Brothers, highly anticipated. It seems to me, especially because you see, such a spike in sales, particularly with Nintendo in the holiday season, that they're going to have another good quarter ahead.
Yeah.
Speaking of good quarters, Sony's Q2 profit rose 17%, driven by gaming, which rose particularly 65%. The company also raised its annual profit forecast by 30%, so it's feeling pretty good about the future. Sony expects annual operating profit of 870 billion yen. That beats analyst expectations of 796 billion yen. 310 billion yen of that would come from gaming, driven by online, and the success of games like God of War and Spider-Man. Sony's semiconductor division expects a yearly increase of 17% to 140 billion yen. And of note, Sony controls more than half of the image sensor market currently, so they're in a good place there. And obviously demand has stayed at least pretty good. The only downside with the smartphone business, which is on course to lose 95 billion yen. So not all rosy, but overall a pretty good quarter for Sony. The company intends to scale down smartphones, but not exit the market entirely.
Yeah,
it's so interesting to me they didn't even bring up like televisions. Like they don't even make the list of things up or down anymore.
Sorry, say that again.
They didn't bring up televisions, right? I mean, so the smartphone business
it's no longer Sony's bread and butter.
We didn't bring up televisions. You mean okay. Just now?
Sorry,
I did not go look up the television sales. Sony television sales haven't been neither stellar nor awful, which is why I didn't include them here. I apologize for leaving that out.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking maybe they make so little difference in the number that they aren't of note anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I jokingly call Sony semiconductor or sensor company Sony because it's the image sensor sales that have really been the thing that leads the way for Sony. On the other hand, this quarter and these projections, I might jokingly call it a gaming company because gaming is leading the way. Don't forget Sony Pictures Entertainment often is showing up as one of the most positive things in these earnings as well, depending on how well the Sony Pictures movies are doing. So just because we didn't mention it doesn't mean it's doing badly. It's just that sensors, gaming, those are the big things. And smartphones, definitely losing. Not the big thing for Sony.
Okay, sorry to mislead then.
Well, I mean, there was a time that Sony was, I mean, at least, you know, what I was buying, like the coolest TV ever, it was like, you get a Sony television, right? And the market is just different now. Yeah, it's Sony, what gets highlighted in a quarterly earnings for Sony is not what would have gotten highlighted 10 years ago. So it's interesting to see that market shift. And also interesting that Sony is not exiting the smartphone market, but certainly saying, listen, we're not putting a lot of R&D behind this right now because we've got other aspects of our business that are doing quite well.
Yeah. Let's move on to Twitter. Twitter released data showing that since it increased the character count of posts to 280, only 1% of tweets reach the limit and 12% are longer than the old limit of 140. Only 5% are longer than 190 characters. Before the limit, the most common length of a tweet was 34 characters. Now, after the increase, the most common length is 33 characters.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could say, oh, it went down, but it pretty much just didn't change. You know, 34 to 33, that's margin of error, right? Twitter did note there are fewer abbreviations. So GR8 for great is down 36%. B and the number 4 for before is down 13%. while the spelling out the word great is now up 32% and spelling out before is up 70%. Also, they note the use of the word please has risen 54% and the use of the word thank you has risen 22%. Whether that's satirical or not is impossible to say without sentiment analysis. However, overall tweets are receiving more replies, so it seems like raising the character count really just had an impact on abbreviations. People stopped abbreviating things, but otherwise mostly wrote what they would have written anyway.
Well, we've been trying to find ways to increase civil discourse. Apparently, we just needed more characters to do it. That's all that was really necessary, right?
Yeah, I was one of those people when Twitter decided to expand the character limit. It's like, oh, you know, I remember the good old days when it was 140 or nothing. You just had to figure it out, you know, like brevity. Yeah, and GR, the number 8 for great. However, it is kind of freeing to not have to think about that as much. And I've definitely run across that, especially when I just wanted to like write a whole sentence. And maybe that sentence is long. So yeah, the difference between having to save a few characters by using kind of, I don't know, weird text, leet speak, whatever you want to call it, and not having to do that at least as much is kind of nice. It is interesting to me though, that even though Twitter said, okay, you now have twice as many characters as you had before, that really tweets are still quite short. Now, Twitter has also introduced over the years, and this isn't new, but you know, a link that you add is not included in your character limit, and mm-hmm. and you know, the company has made it easier to get your point across while also adding media to your tweet. So that's a little bit of it as well. But
oh yeah,
you know, I guess the old school person in me is sort of happy that things haven't changed too much at Twitter.
I love the idea of data analysts who went to got a master's in data analysis, and they're sitting there counting how many times did people spell it GR8.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a database search, right? Like let's
I also love the stat of please and thank you. I'm sure some people are just being polite and great, you know, politeness is on the rise, sounds great, but it's like, what were those tweets actually saying? Are you really thanking somebody? You know, are you quoting a movie? I don't know.
Well, moving along, Uber announced a subscription service called Ride Pass. For a monthly fee, all rides have a flat rate, which Uber estimates will save riders 15% on monthly travel. The app will also keep tabs on how much you've saved. Drivers get paid the usual rates. The plan costs $15 a month in Austin, Orlando, Denver, and Miami, but where we live, $25 a month in Los Angeles, where it also includes free bike and scooter access.
And I've really been looking into this stuff because I have a car lease that's up in March, and I'm really trying to weigh my options because getting another lease would be the most expensive option that I could choose. But then it, you know, affords you some flexibility that is important to me. I have a dog too. And I don't know how many Ubers want my dog in the back seat, but this is interesting, especially because surge pricing is that's a real problem for me, depending on the time of day. Cause I live in LA, so this is not as affordable as it would be if I lived in Austin. But $25 a month for something that is never going to spike during surge pricing, that would save me a lot of money. I've taken a trip from, you know, one side of the city to the other, you know, at off peak times, you know, for, I don't know, $15, and during peak time for like 50. It really makes a difference if you're riding Uber a lot, yeah, or, you know, any ride hailing service.
This is really for people who just use Uber all the time in a city. Because, you know, if I travel to Las Vegas, this plan isn't going to help me, right? Like, you know, and I generally end up using Uber and Lyft when I travel. It's an unusual thing for people to benefit from this plan, especially because Uber's covering the differential of the cost by giving a flat rate out to people. So you're paying, and then you're paying for each ride. It's not like you get the rides for free. It's not an all-you-can-eat subscription. Right. And so Uber must think it's going to make more money in people paying for a plan that doesn't end up saving them money, or they wouldn't do it. So it really always, these kinds of things sound like a bad deal to me.
Well, I think, Tom, you and I are the same, that we mostly use it on travel. But I think, like Sarah mentions, a lot of people are just not having cars now, or sending their, I know people who send their kids to school. They go in Ubers. That's how they do it. So if you can corner them to say, oh, well, it's better for me to get, I've already got this pass, let me use Uber instead of Lyft, or Uber instead of hitching a ride with somebody else, it might be less convenient. So you would probably get more rides from someone who had this pass.
Again, I'm not saying you couldn't benefit from it, but Uber wouldn't be putting it in place if they didn't think most people won't benefit from it, because it wouldn't be making any money otherwise.
But if they do more rides, they make it up in volume.
that's unassailable logic. What
had to happen. Yeah. Had to happen.
Canada's InterAxon introduced an update to its meditation assistant called Muse that you wear like a headband. It monitors brain waves to give you feedback as you meditate. The Muse 2 arrived Tuesday with the addition of heart rate and body movement monitoring, as well as a dashboard to track progress. The Muse 2 costs $249.
So, you know, those apps on your watch, like Apple has one called Breathe, and there are others out there for various watches that kind of remind you to relax. You know, they're various ones. Some are full on meditation. Others are like the Apple ones, just kind of a light version of meditation. This is for somebody who's really trying to double down on it. And from what I've read, they definitely help focus you, but they can also be distracting because they play sounds. And if your mind starts to wander and it notices an increase in brainwave activity, it'll play the sound louder to kind of drown out your thoughts, I guess, which sounds distracting to me. But I thought it was interesting as a different kind of wearable.
I think it's, I love the idea that you're trying to be mellow and really, you know, meditate and zen and all that. And you're dealing with metrics about whether you're doing it correctly. I mean, that's what I'd love. But then again, I don't meditate because I like being.
Yeah, I don't know enough about meditation to know if, this would, the headband idea. This seems like probably it's convenient to wear, but isn't meditation in the eye of the beholder a bit? I don't know that there's a wrong way to meditate as long as you're
well, if it doesn't
finding
relax
the zen
you,
within yourself.
Yeah, it's. I don't think this is about some like, you know, mystical process that you have to get right. It's about can you get it to help you relax? And usually that's just deep breathing and trying to clear your mind. And what this does is it monitors that and says, hey, you're on the right track. Keep going. And it's trying to keep you in a relaxed frame of mind. So it may help. It's also a headband you have to put on that's going to leave a mark on your head for 20 minutes. So don't do it right before you have a presentation or something, even though you need to relax.
Do and be like, I am ready for this presentation.
Yeah, you can tell.
I've been meditating. See?
On my head. By the way, Allison, I was able to find TV sales fell 25% compared to last year. So not great, actually. Yeah. Not as bad as the phones, but not great.
I have a beautiful Sony UHD TV that I love, but I think I'm the only one who bought one.
Yeah, it's LG, Samsung. They're leading the ways these days. Yeah.
UCL's taken over.
In the budget area, Vizio. Oh, yeah. Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. So as Sarah mentioned at the top of the show, Apple had their big announcement today. New iPad Pro, new Mac Mini, and a MacBook Air. Three products that took them 90 minutes to announce, plus a few other announcements. There's, things that we didn't mention. There is a new AMD Radeon Pro Vega graphics option for the MacBook Pro coming November 14th. Supposedly, it'll give you a 60% boost on performance. Blackmagic is putting out a new enclosure for using the Radeon Pro Vega as an external GPU with your MacBook Pros. The dual SIM has got problems if you're on Verizon in the U.S. You can have a dual SIM where one SIM is the primary and the other is the secondary. Verizon's hard SIM, not the eSIM, but the actual card, doesn't do well in the United States on secondary. It drops you down to 2G. So that's something to know. Verizon hopes that can get fixed soon. Those are just minor things, though. But
let me interject one thing. When you brought up the eGPUs, those also work on the MacBook Air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Okay. No, I wasn't trying to give an exhaustive list of every item it worked with. I just said, it would work the Macs. But let's start with that. Is that one of the things that you're excited about is the MacBook Air?
I did want to make fun of Tim Cook first, because even though I have an ever so slight Apple bias, I did think it was comical how excited he tried to get us that they put a Retina display in it. Retina display.
Well, I mean, that is exciting. Because that's what kept me from buying a MacBook Air when I got my last Pro, is because I had already seen the Retina and I just couldn't go back. And it surprises me it took them this long.
Oh, 100%. But it took so long. I mean, Retina was coined 8 years ago. 6 years ago, it went into the 12-inch. It was the first time it was introduced in a Mac. So, of course, they needed to do it. But, I mean, he was like, ta-da! Like he, you know, invented fire.
We're late.
Can I admit something that may be embarrassing?
Yeah.
I didn't watch.
Okay. Let me get you excited then.
If I might embarrass myself as well, and I did headlines this morning, which was extremely Apple event based, I didn't watch either because I preferred to watch the live blogs because mm-hmm. that's actually, it was better use of my time for information.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Cool. And it paid off. I was a little worried that there might be something really cool to happen on stage, but it sounds like really it was, these are just spec announcements for the Mac Mini and the MacBook Air. And they're interesting. So the Mac Mini is 4 years old, so it needs something.
Guys are sucking all the fun out here, guys. Come on. No, there was some really cool stuff. Okay, let's go through the things that aren't just spec bumps. One of the biggest things about the MacBook Air I thought was interesting was that they put Touch ID in it, but did not put the Touch Bar in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that it used to be Touch Bar was the only
nobody really likes
ID.
The Touch Bar.
There's one new spec was added, but not another. Got it.
Okay. How about the fact that it's 100% recycled aluminum, and so are the Mac Minis. And the way they get the metal to do that is by when they're grinding out the iPads. So they're making so many iPads that the leftover shrapnel of aluminum is being used to make MacBook Airs and Mac Minis.
I mean,
I thought that was cool.
There's no way I'm going to be like, that's not cool.
That's the kind of thing that's cooler when you see it on a presentation than when you hear about it. But
no,
still interesting. I think it's still interesting. Yeah. Affect my purchase decision, though.
Okay.
Keep it coming.
Keep going, Allison. we're playing devil's advocate here. We're all very excited.
Well, and part of the reason is I didn't get to the end. I said it's mostly spec bumps for the Mac Mini and the MacBook Air. iPad Pro, I think, is a significant product. I think this is an impressive product because I could be snarky with myself and say, well, these are all just specs. It's a new chip. It's Face ID. It's a significantly smaller form factor. It's a much improved keyboard. Even though the pencil is more expensive and you have to buy it just for the iPad Pro, the new one, the fact that it's magnetic and seems like it locks pretty solid and charges while it's connected, I think is fantastic. So the iPad Pro is the one that really caught my eye out of these announcements.
Yeah.
I actually, I was the most excited about the Mac Mini, to be honest, because I've been thinking about getting one, but they were so long in the tooth before I kept holding out because I actually think that having a Mac Mini rather than the setup that I have currently will free up a lot of desk space for me. And actually, I mean, 2 terabytes of storage is like, that's actually going to be super helpful for a lot of projects that I do. And I, you know, $800, you know, it's not nothing, but that is in my wheelhouse of affordability. And I was most excited about that because I got an external monitor that I'm not using. And the MacBook Air, probably not going to get one. Although if I do go back to the Air, because I'm currently using the Pro, it's more attractive than ever. The iPad Pro though, it's turning into a device that I do not need, but I really want.
At the risk of being told it was dumb, the two things I thought were interesting on the iPad Pro, the 10.5-inch iPad Pro became an 11-inch screen, but kept the same external size. Mm-hmm. And the bigger iPad, they took the 12.9-inch screen. It's still a 12.9-inch screen, but it's 15% thinner and 25% less volume. So a lot of people like the 12.9-inch size when they're using it, but it's a pain to carry around. 25% less volume, that's going to be huge to me. The 12.9 is my iPad of choice. Being able to go down in size and keep that huge screen is going to be huge to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Puns intended. The other thing, you mentioned Face ID, but it's not just Face ID, Tom. It's Face ID in all four orientations. It's not just people were worried maybe just be in portrait mode, which would have been stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people use it to read magazines and to read comic books in that mode. Now it's in landscape, but this was better on video. They showed them rotating it and said, going like, it doesn't matter what you do with it. It's always right side up. So all four orientations is huge. What I wanted to ask you guys, they said it was that the new MacBook, or iPad Pro, I should say, is faster than 92% of PCs, including i7s. And I wanted to ask you.
Well, in what capacity? You know, like what are the details of that?
Is it faster than an Xbox, Xbox One?
I thought he said it was faster than.
He said it was. He said the PC iPad laptops. He said it was as powerful as the Xbox One S. The
GPU.
Anyway, on that order, anyway, I thought that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, those kind of comparisons I'm always skeptical of because there's lots of ways to slice those numbers that don't look as nice. But the comparison to the Xbox One S, I think, is the one that's fair to say, like, hey, this tablet computer is the same as a game console, which is a good way of kind of trying to boost your game cred to say, like, if you've been thinking of your iPad as a way to play games, but you're like, man, but it's not as powerful. Well, guess what? It is as powerful as this particular game console. So that's a good comparison to me. I don't think that the iPad Pro is necessarily the most powerful, you know, saying it's more powerful than 92% of PCs. Maybe an irrelevant stat, because if I want a more powerful PC at close to the same size as a laptop, I can get it. I can get a more powerful Surface. The Surface, you know, arguably is cheaper for the power, depending on how you configure it. All of that stuff is just that's when you want to win an argument against your friend. You come up with those stats. All I care about is, can it do the thing I want to do? And the iPad Pro looks like it does a lot more things than it used to.
In that league.
What's that?
It's interesting to me that it's even in that league to have that kind of a debate.
I think that's more important than trying to come up with stats. Is this is a more credible laptop replacement than an iPad has ever been in the past.
Another thing they said was that you can drive an external display with it.
Yeah, because it's USB-C. That's the biggest. I think that was the one thing that caught my eye out of this whole announcement is finally we're getting USB-C in an Apple product. And maybe we can all someday just live on the same port Surface, and I can have one charger in every room, and everything connects by USB-C, and everything interconnects rather than having the dongleverse we live in now.
Well, I thought it was interesting too, in the context of before the show, we were talking about how I'm using a little USB device called a Luna that allows me to use my iPad as a display. But I get the new iPad Pro, it's the other way around. It's the processor and the computer, and I'm going to use my display as a second display. I thought that was,
I thought that was
interesting. And I did think you mentioned it, the fact that it does magnetic charging is really cool, but it's really cool in the context of not really stupid to walk around with an iPad with a pencil sticking out of the side.
Yeah.
That makes it way cooler.
And I get the impression, because of the number of magnets they have in there, that it will stick pretty well versus the original Surface Book that I had. That it had a magnet for its stylus, but it fell off all the time. And, you know, a nice stiff wind would blow it off. So this looks like it's better. We'll see how it ends up in testing. But it is annoying that you can't use the pencil if you already bought the pencil from the old one on the new one. I hate it when you don't have cross compatibility, but it sounds like it might be worth it this time.
Wait a minute. Did they say you can't use the old one on the new one?
I guess it's the other way around. You can't use the Pencil 2 on the previous iPads.
Right. And there's something about
you also can't magnet charge and attach your old pencil to the new iPad.
Yeah, you would have no way to charge it at all. Yeah. In fact, how is there any way to charge it other than through the iPad?
I mean, you guys are really missing the most exciting part of the event today, and that's that iOS 12.1 finally is going to allow group FaceTime for up to 32 people.
Sorry. Yay. Yeah, no, obviously. I mean, we buried the lead.
When's the party?
The 35-person FaceTime party, you mean?
Well, when the 32, don't be stupid. When they came out with the announcement that was coming out, that was right when the Apple Mail servers went down. And I thought, I can't really afford to try to do an update to 12.1 right before going on the show. So I did not do that yet. But I'm actually really looking forward to it. And the main reason is for audio. So Steve and I cram into the little screen on my phone to look at our grandson. And when he talks, it's about 8,000 decibels to me because it's right next to my ear.
Right.
And me to him. So it'd be really nice to be on separate phones. I am super looking forward to multiple people, possibly not 32, though.
Well, very cool.
Yeah, lots of Apple announcements today. You know, hopefully the company's done for the year. My goodness. Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. I'm just kidding, Apple people, just kidding. If you have Apple stories or any other story at all, you know what you do. Submit those stories and vote on others at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Also on Facebook at facebook.com/groups. daily tech news show.
What's in the mailbag, Sarah?
Oh, glad you asked, Tom. Aaron actually added some perspective on practical app access via subscription. We were talking about the idea of Google possibly adding a subscription model to Google Play. Aaron says, I use Amazon's free time subscription for my family currently, provides apps, books, videos, and content controls. The interesting thing about the Android and Amazon app experiences is that most of the apps are supported by advertising. Highly off-putting, especially because the contents of advertisements can't be chosen or monitored like the apps themselves can. One of the primary benefits of the subscription is the content and experience management. There are no advertisements in the subscription apps. There can be in-app purchases. Applications seem to be better vetted for content stability. Along with the Fire 10 tablets, price, and performance value, it makes for a good experience for our needs as a family. I'd be curious to see if Google is aiming for something similar or taking another approach. Aaron says, it's effective for integrating people into your ecosystem. I really didn't want to be in the Amazon ecosystem. I prefer Google Home and the Chromecast and Google Home Minis. I don't like that I can't integrate the two. However, I'm about to purchase more smart home devices like a camera and a doorbell and the like. Unfortunately, it seems that I'll have to choose an ecosystem. Odd as it seems, though, the Amazon FaceTime subscription actually, or free time subscription, has introduced a consideration for the Amazon ecosystem I would not have previously entertained.
Interesting, interesting take and an interesting comparison of that Amazon ecosystem as potentially a sort of roadmap for what Google might do.
Yeah, thanks so much, Aaron. Really good feedback. And thanks also to Allison Sheridan for being back on the show. Even though your house is in upheaval, you always bring the knowledge. Let folks know where they can keep up with your work.
Well, I'm over at podfeet.com. I have many podcasts there. And one of the things I wanted to make sure Tom heard about in particular, and everybody, the latest episode of Chit Chat Across the Pond Light was with a former NASA engineer named Darren Beyer, who has now turned into a science fiction author. He's written two of his four books of the Ngazi series. And his tagline is bring science back to science fiction.
Nice. I love that. I can't wait to listen.
Super cool. Very to cool. Talk to him about his time as a NASA engineer was absolutely amazing. Really, really cool.
Sounds really fun. Go check it out, folks. Podfeet.com. And also check out patreon.com/DTNS. We have a special bonus post from Threatwire today. Shannon Morse at Threatwire has an extended explanation, both in audio and in text, about the exemptions to the DRM from the U.S. Library of Congress. So if you're a subscriber over there at any level, you can take a listen or read that at patreon.com/DTNS.
If you have feedback for us, guess what? We have an email address. It's feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. And you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
And by the way, that Shannon Morse that I was just mentioning, she's on the show tomorrow.
Woo! Okay.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
I wasn't trying to take the wind out of your sails, Allison. I was just more excited about the iPad Pro, and I was trying to get us to that.
Okay, totally did.
Apologize.
Aw.
Aw.
I think we were able to cover lots of good specs collectively as a team.
I mentioned this in the Slack, but I'm really excited about the chip inside the iPad Pro, because it just lends a little more faith that Apple can make a conversion away from Intel into their in-house chips and not suffer any sort of performance penalty.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to show. They had a I normally don't like the gaming stuff, but they showed a basketball game that was phenomenal. I mean, it was video. It was live video. I mean, that was not animated. It was amazing. And then I really don't like Adobe at all, but they showed, they took a...
the Adobe demo is pretty sweet Photoshop.
Yeah. How many layers deep was that? It's like 1,000 layers.
And then
they brought it up in AR and had butterflies flying around in this multi-layer document on an iPad. It was insane.
It was the same thing they showed off at Adobe Max.
Yeah.
But they just weren't able to show it on the new iPad Pro, I don't think. when they were showing it off there. So it was on a much nicer piece of hardware.
But just be able to manipulate that many layers, even if that's a pretty big size to manipulate and have it work that quickly on a.
Yeah, you know, that's not real software yet. I mean, they certainly were doing a live demo, I believe that, but they're saying sometime in 2019.
Yeah, yeah. So wait, the basketball thing was a game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
They were playing a video game that was, did you see that, Roger?
Yes.
It was crazy. Well,
this is one of the great things about basketball is with a lot of the specular lighting, it looked pretty real back in the Xbox 360 PS3 days, and it's gotten to the level of fidelity that's pretty like, wow, I'm playing a game. But sucks is all the controls you have to do to pass and do all the other stuff. Like it gets
sucky game.
No, it's not that it's a sucky game. It gets more complicated. Like football used to be fun when you had the little LED football from Mattel, right? You just pass and you run it down. Now they use every conceivable button and combos buttons on the controller to play. And if you're really into football, it's awesome. But if you just want to play maybe a quarter or whatever, it's so hard to jump in. It's not like you sit down and you can start playing. You really have to learn it.
I was just excited by the graphics. I thought it was looked really good. All right. Well, I got to get going. I got to pack to leave this house of hell.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Good luck.
Thank you so much for being on today.
Allison.
Thanks, Allison. Good to see you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, you can Uber.
Yeah, what do we got for titles?
Title time.
I like Apple's done for the year. Or is done, should be the year, but.
Well.
No, you don't think they're done?
Well, I mean, I jokingly said I hope they're done. Just because I'm tired of Apple announcements. Not that I'm tired of Apple products, I'm just tired of Apple announcements. But I don't know. I mean, do you guys like that one?
There's also iUSB-C, what you did there, Apple. I see what you, iUSB-C.
iUSB-C.
No, not clever enough.
No, I like that one.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Cool. Done.
Done. Like dinner.
Dinner?
Done.
Oh, done like dinner. I see.
What about some linner?
Lunch and dinner? It's the, dinner, new, yeah. It's the new brunch.
Better than dunch.
Wasn't she in James Bond? Judy Dench?
Judy Dench?
That's a joke.
That was a Seinfeld episode when Janine Garofalo was Jerry's girlfriend. And he liked her because like they were the same person.
Oh.
But then like he liked how much they had in common, but she like had the same comedic style as him. And at one point she's like, he said something about getting lunch and she's, or brunch or I don't know what. And she was like, why do they have brunch, but they don't have the thing between lunch and dinner? It's dunch or linner, you know? And you see Jerry being like, no.
Yeah.
he broke up with her and he's like, I was dating myself. Why would I do that? I hate myself. Anyway.
Oh man.
That man. I don't know. I'm one of those rare people that really didn't get into Jerry Seinfeld.
I mean, I've seen every episode 9 times. So everything is a Seinfeld episode to me.
My wife loves it. She's always quoting scenes. It's like, all right.
I have friends who I'm positive would think it was really funny. And they're like, I'm not interested, which I've done before. I've definitely done that before with a series or a movie that everyone's like, but it'll change your life. It's so good. And you're like, I just don't want to. I just think that there's so many Seinfeld references that have become part of like Soup Nazi. Like, does that mean anything to you?
I know who it is, but it's because, you know, Seinfeld just used to run on in the background when I was doing stuff.
Yeah.
But because I would just leave Connect the TV by USB-C running and it would be like 6 o'clock and it would be running Seinfeld reruns. I don't know.
You just didn't think it was super funny, which is, you know, it's a certain kind of humor.
It's not that I didn't think, I thought some of it was funny, but I always thought that the show was just made up of those jokes and it just wasn't funny at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't have, you know, it's the whole thing about having like a meal that's one particular flavor. You want a variety of stuff.
Sure.
Like, because sure. If every meal's like that, then it gets, you can't always eat KFC for dinner.
Why not?
Nor should you. Ooh. There's a KFC near me, and I haven't eaten there in a really long time. I don't like fried chicken, so it's nothing against KFC in particular. I'm just not going to eat fried chicken. But they probably have other things that I would like.
I don't like really. Fried chicken. I like the taste, but I just don't like the oil.
I would peel off the fried part.
You don't like
and
fried
eat the chicken,
chicken
underneath, so there's no point.
If they could do that's breaded chicken part. Like in a chain like that, that would be,
what
I would
mean
try
breaded it. Chicken? That's what fried chicken is.
Yeah, I'm like, that's the what I don't like. I want a roasted chicken, oven roasted. None of that fried
chicken.
What
do you mean breaded chicken? Like baked or something?
Yep.
Instead of fried?
Oh, well.
Yes.
So instead of dipped, yeah, well, I guess that would taste different. So what is, for anybody, I don't know if either of you have eaten at KFC recently. Or I guess, I don't know.
I ate at a KFC slash.
But do they have like good sides? I mean, I used to go to Boston Market literally for the sides.
I really like the mashed potatoes with gravy.
Yeah.
But I don't like it an hour later.
There's a side KFC list on their website that every time I try to order it, they say they don't have it there. And I think it's green beans.
Oh, see, yeah. See, I like all the fried chicken sides in theory. I should probably just stick with the donut shop and stop patronizing all the fast food restaurants around me. But
it's nothing wrong with Boston Market. It's just
whatever happened to Boston Market.
They're still there.
Are they?
Yeah, I saw one the other day. I don't remember where, though.
Okay. I thought that they had gone out of business, but maybe it's just because the locations that used to be near
me. They might have closed some stores because I knew there was a period where they were just expanding all over the place.
I remember when they were shuttering some locations, and I probably just took that to mean that it was gone. But I used to really like their sides because it was like Thanksgiving light every day.
Can I get the stuffing and then the mac and cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah, we ate at KFC the first day we were living here because it was easy. I don't think we've eaten there since.
I'm still in that mode of the let's just do something close by instead of cooking at home because it's easier.
Yeah.
But now that I've cleaned my kitchen fully, I don't really have the excuse anymore.
But let me ask you, because you moved into a new place and you have ostensibly, not a new kitchen, but new to you kitchen, do you feel compelled like, hey, I should try cooking?
Try cooking?
Like, do you say to yourself, now that I have a new, you know, I'm in a new place or whatever, I should try cooking instead of eating out as an alternative? Like, I should just go to the grocery store, buy a bunch of stuff.
Well, I mean, I did do that. I mean, I talk a lot about, you know, my, you know, Uber Eats orders, but it's like, I have always cooked, but I know what you mean. My kitchen now is, my old kitchen was actually larger, but kind of outdated. And, you know, the appliances they worked fine. You know, they cooked stuff fine. But my new kitchen is quite new. And the stove is kind of, you know, what I would consider fancy, to, you know, compared to what I'm used to. And so, yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm excited to like try some new stuff, which is a nice feeling.
Yeah.
You know, the fridge is clean. The stove is clean. Everything's new. I'm ready to make a pasta dish. I don't know what kind, but I'll figure it out.
Well, video folks, thanks for watching and hope you enjoyed the show and maybe we'll figure out what that pasta dish is for the audio listeners. Stick around. There's more to come.
If that's not an incentive, I don't know what is.
I don't know what is apparently.
Oh, I got to do a Bed Bath & Beyond run.
Don't forget your 20% coupon.
I won't. In fact, in my old mailbox, because I was there yesterday, finally cleaning everything out. It's finally over. you know, the millions of Bed Bath & Beyond 20% coupons that I just threw out, I was like, oh, actually, I need these.
Mm-hmm. It's such a weird store. Like, I never thought I would need to shop in there until I started needing stuff from, like, well, I need a garbage can, or I need something for the bathroom to hang all my soap. And
you were like,
when I say Bed Bath & Beyond, it's like, I'm going to do a Google search. Like, if Target is closer, I'll just do it there. I need like a shower curtain. I need a toilet paper hanger.
I bought it.
Just kind of silly stuff that's going to be at one of those two places.
Something for the bathroom. Something beyond.
You're right.
I bought a curtain from Target, and it was a map of the continental United States. I think, oh, this is kind of cool. I hung it, and it smelled exactly like petroleum, like raw petroleum, like, you know, not even refined, just petroleum.
I know the smell. It's a particular shower curtain smell. I don't like it either, but it goes away. It
made me cry, and this is in the shower. I was like, dude, I got to get rid of this. This is killing me. So I just bought a fabric one instead.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same. I think, I don't know. We'll see. It's funny. I was at, there's a Walgreens not too far from me the other day. And when I moved in last Monday, you know, it was a long day and, you know, you're sweaty and, you know, moving stuff around. And so at night I was like, I got to take a shower. And then I was like, oh no, I need a shower curtain, because I've just had like shower doors for years. So I went down there to Walgreens, was like, do you guys have shower curtains? Because it seems like almost a little too much for a Walgreens. And the guy was like, yeah, we do. They had shower liners, curtain liners. So it's going to do the job, but probably something that you want to double up on with like an actual curtain. I said, oh, yeah, this is a liner, not a curtain. But, you know, thank you. And he was like, what's the difference? I was like, well, I don't know, really.
Well, the liner...
It's just a very thin curtain, actually.
Well, the thing with a liner is that some people might... You can get away with using it, but some people find it a little too translucent that you can see through it.
Well, and it's also... It's like if you have one of... Like a fabric curtain that hangs outside of the tub, right? Yeah. Then the liner is actually what's keeping the water inside. And then the fabric curtain is more cosmetic. Anyway.
Yeah, now I just have a shower with a shower door.
Yeah,
a friend of mine just moved into a new apartment and she just has a shower too, but it's really nice. It's like a nice big one, you know, nice tile. Mm. She was like, man, I miss my bathtub. And I'm like, I never take baths. I would not care if I only had a shower stall.
I just need a chair in there so I can have a moment and cry in the shower.
At the smell of petroleum.
Like, something emotional has happened in my life. I must weep.
Is that your most emo time of day, the shower?
No one can see your tears.
Right, yeah. They just kind of blend in with...
Yeah, was it like Tears of the Rain? Your Hours line and Blade Runner. Lost like so many tears in the rain.
Time to die.
Remember, and this probably is something, well, I guess with, you know, smart speakers, you can put them anywhere, but there was a time where, I don't remember the name of the model that was like the really popular one, but it was like a radio that you would Velcro to the shower wall. Mm-hmm. It was called like Wet and Wild or something like that. Something like that. But it was all the rage where it was like... Because the idea was that everybody was singing in the shower all the time. So, you know, you'd have like...
I think so.
Tune your radio and it would be just right in the shower and it was waterproof. It was one of those years where it was like everybody wanted one for Christmas.
I mean, do people... I don't say...
I'm kind of in and out as soon as possible. I don't really linger in there.
I tried to do the 10-minute shower or less.
10 minutes? What are you even doing in there for 10 minutes? I'm a 5-minute shower person.
5 minutes?
I got stuff to do.
5 minute shower. Is that even enough time to get your hair wet?
Yeah. Wetting your hair takes 30 seconds. Shampoo and conditioner. Jeez. I don't know.
You're like, were you raised in like an army barracks?
No. But we did have a well and the hot water would run out or periodically freeze. So you get used to a quick shower. Mm. If you have to.
Well, water. None of that city water.
Splash Dance. That's what it was called.
Splash Dance.
Splash Dance. You guys didn't ever have one of these?
I never owned one. No, I saw them in Sky Mall, though.
Oh, man. Splash Dance. I definitely had one.
I wish.
Wait a minute. It's an jealous. Australian TV show.
That's different.
Different Splash Dance.
I don't think I would want these people in the shower with me.
You say that now.
I want to buy one of these. This is amazing. I mean,
there it is.
Splash Dance is still $27. That seems a little excessive considering that it's from 1989.
Well, it could be that they've updated it with newer technology.
I don't think so. I think this is a vintage item that I'm finding on Etsy.
Yeah.
It totally looks like something you would take to the beach with you.
And that price is because that's a collectible, not...
I guess it is, yeah, because it's vintage now.
Yeah.
Splash Dance. Oh, memories.
You're a maniac in the shower.
Oh, look, this guy being triumphant in the shower.
Was it triumphant in, showers in the, are the best.
The theme from Flashdance video, didn't she get like splashed with water or something?
Yeah, the bucket at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's right.
She was like a dance club or a burlesque. Yeah,
the video for the theme from Flashdance.
What a feeling.
By Irene Cara.
What a feeling.
What a feeling.
Feeling.
I don't remember that video. I remember Maniac.
By Michael Cimbello.
Like running in place real quick with her leg warmers.
Well, maybe she got splashed with the water then.
I don't remember.
No, I don't remember.
I don't know. I had that album soundtrack on vinyl, which is weird. I don't know why, because it was like cassettes were available, but it was like cooler because you saw it real big on the vinyl cover.
Well, folks, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And thank you for your support on Patreon. Tell your friends and check out the post from Shannon today as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day.
Good day, Internet. Thanks for the support.